This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Michigan's First Lady, Sue Snyder, is hosting a summit next week in Lansing on preventing sexual assault on college campuses. Among the co-hosts is State Senator Tanya Shoemaker of Lawton. The Republican represents Van Buren, Allegan, and part of Kent County in the Michigan Senate. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Also joined today by Kalamazoo Gazette reporter Emily Monticelli.
Thanks for having me.
Emily, first question for Senator Shoemaker.
Can you tell us a little bit about the summit and how you got involved?
Well, I was honored to have been asked by the First Lady. She was talking, I believe the story is, that she was talking with a friend whose daughter had been sexually assaulted on campus. She also has a daughter going off or is in freshman at a college this year, and so she had concerns. And then I, too, also have a daughter that will be going off to college in about a year. I have a son at college right now. And so we have about 1 in 5 women that are sexually assaulted on campus. And out of that 1 in 5, only about 12% actually report it. So we have to do something to end it. So she felt that this was an important initiative to take up as First Lady. And so she decided to get all the parties together, law enforcement, and also all 15 public universities, and also the independent colleges as well, to get together and talk about how we can do better at preventing and ending sexual assault.
Is the reporting of it mostly on the victim? Is it the victim who is not coming forward right now and saying something? And is that where you need to start in making sure that someone feels okay in coming forward and reporting if something's happened to them?
You know, that's one of the problems, is to make sure that we have a culture where victims are taken seriously, where they feel comfortable in order to report, and so that we have better reporting statistics. But the other thing is also to law enforcement, how they behave towards the victim, to make sure that the victim feels comfortable. So the problem's not just always, you know, that the victim doesn't feel comfortable. It's also, you know, in terms of protocol and procedures. In talking to all 15 public universities, we had a luncheon where there was no press, and so we kind of had a frank discussion. And what was kind of telling is that every public university does something different in regards to this. There's no kind of uniformity of best practices. Now, our universities do a pretty good job currently addressing this, but can we always improve and do better? You know, I as a person certainly can. And so therefore, I think it's important to have policies and procedures and protocols that are kind of uniform in terms of what are the best practices out there.
If all 15 public universities are doing something different, is it possible to take a look and figure out who amongst those 15 is doing the best job and then make those policies more uniform?
I definitely think that should be the number one job and goal out of this, coming out of the summit, is to do that.
As a state lawmaker, are there things that you definitely want to hear or hear certain people that you want to hear from, I guess? And is there certain information you're trying to get at? And do you see a role down the road for the state legislature to enact something that perhaps puts some reporting requirements or some other mandates in?
Right. Definitely. By no means am I the expert in this. And so we'll be hearing from law enforcement, we'll be hearing from experts, we'll be hearing, you know, from other states. Also, the universities will be present in terms of coming up with procedures and solutions to end this. And also, the First Lady has a website that I wanted to get out on there, which is www.endcampussexualassault.com. And so if anyone is very interested, in any of your listeners, they can certainly turn to that as well.
Emily?
I understand that the summit kicks off a larger campaign. And so what else is there to go along with the summit in this overall campaign?
Well, you know, we will be having the summit and then kind of taking the information that we gain out there, along with, you know, the information that the universities have already given us, and kind of coming up with, you know, like a plan in order to address this, because one sexual assault is one too many.
As you noted, there's a lot more than that. how confident are people in the numbers that we get? I mean, you know, do we get a full picture in the numbers that we hear, or is it possible that the numbers we do hear are maybe below, you know, not giving us the full picture?
Right. And, you know, I said that, you know, 1 in 5 women, it's estimated, and that's just an estimate. And so out of that, 12% really are the ones that report. So, you know, I think you bring up a very good point in terms of getting better numbers and statistics. And you can't do that unless you kind of change, you know, the stigma and the outlook out there for women coming forward to say that, you know, they were sexually assaulted. You know, we also have, you know, there's date rape drugs out there. So hopefully, you know, identifying, you know, better methods is to having women, you know, at least knowledge is power. And so if you're out at the bar, you know, making sure that your drink is not tampered with, you know, we're raising awareness for kind of looking out for yourself and looking out for your friends as well.
Let me move on to a couple of other issues, okay, which are before the legislature. Proposal 1, which was supposed to be the solution to road funding in Michigan, was rejected overwhelmingly by voters. So as a state lawmaker right now, what do you want to do, or what do you think are ideas that should be considered for funding roads?
Well, certainly that plays, funding roads plays into the budget. What we've done is we passed out the budgets, which are now in, actually the conference committees have met, and so we're on track to do the budget. We're actually going to put in this year's budget the same amount of money that would have been put in for this calendar year if Proposal 1 had passed. So we've reprioritized a number of things, such as we've severely cut out film tax credits, which I think a lot of people are like, you know, we can't fund our roads, but we're funding film tax credits. We have done a number of other things. Higher ed saw a slight decrease from the increase that they got. They were getting a 2% increase pre-Proposal 1 going down. Now they're getting a 1.5% increase, so that we do have money to reprioritize and put towards our roads for this year. Now you bring up, what are we going to do in the long term? Because the estimates are that you need $1.5 billion each and every year for the next 20 years, really, and that's just to maintain our roads. So you do need a long-term funding solution to do that, because you can't, you know, every year be put in the situation of how do you come up with that. And so we came up with $400 million, which is probably the appropriate number, because you don't want to put too much money too fast into it, because then that isn't probably a wise use. But you do need to come up with about $1.5 billion. And just to put that into context, our state general fund is somewhere in the neighborhood of $9.7-9.8 billion. So $1.5 billion is a huge chunk to come out of our general fund budget.
10%, around 10%,
a little bit more. And so we are going to have to probably look at, so we as a caucus, a Senate caucus, and I think the House is going to come up with their plan. I think they did release a plan which was built upon growth. Now, I don't necessarily agree that, you know, well, hopefully the economy will continue to increase. I don't think that's necessarily a long-term solution, is to hope everything upon a growth of an economy. Certainly
at some point there's going to be a downturn. There's a cyclical,
most likely,
a cyclical,
yes,
nature to,
yes,
the economy.
So you probably do need to look at new revenues, or, you know, to cut. I, for one, actually was one of the ones that voted on a gas tax pre-Proposal 1 being passed by the legislature. My problem with not voting for Proposal 1 was that it had a lot of other stuff. And as I heard other people out there of various reasons why they voted against Proposal 1, it wasn't so much that they don't feel like our roads need to be fixed, or they're not willing to pay for it, is that there was other stuff in Proposal 1 that they didn't like. And so, you know, we'll get together. Certainly the key number is to come out with 20, 56, and 1. 20 senators need to vote on something. We got 20 votes for a gas tax before, and then the House rejected that, and that's how we came up with Proposal 1. And then you need 56 state representatives and 1 governor to all agree to that. So certainly I think the Senate is going to sit down. We're going to look at our budget. We're going to get rid of all the stuff people say is fat, is a waste of government. And then once we do that, then we're going to look at, you know, how we go about increasing revenue in terms of paving our roads. I personally, I'm a fiscal conservative, but I do believe a core function of government is our roads and infrastructure.
I'm wondering, though, when you go from a 2% increase for the higher education mm-hmm. budget down to 1.5%, which I think if we were talking right now to John Dunn or anybody at the administration building, they would tell you that's not going to cover increased costs. How much fat is really left in that budget if you're making cuts like that in order to put the money that you're going to put into roads?
You know, they'll have to make that determination. They also, you know, state funding of a higher education, a university's budget is roughly about 22%, some universities more, some universities less. So they make up that difference in tuition. You know, as I hear parents talk about tuition, it's never going down and, you know, it's only going up. And, you know, it's unfortunate because with the increase in the Medicaid budget over the last 25, 30 years, that has really cut into the higher education budget. When you and I went to college, you know, the state funded about 75% of a college education. Now it's directly opposite that. So, you know, that will result, if we don't do something about our roads, is you know, pretty much privatizing higher education. That's not something I want for Michigan, but, you know, there are some people out there that do want that. I personally think that the state has a responsibility and I think it's right to, you know, further somebody's education if we want a talented and educated workforce going into the future. And, you know, that's diversified and on the cutting edge of the states.
Do you agree that there has to be some sort of an increase in revenue then? Which is what the governor has said, that you're not going to be able to do this in the existing budget. And if so, it's apparently not going to be the sales tax because the voters have said no. And it doesn't seem as though lawmakers want to go back to the ballot. So what's left? Is it, you know, for instance, gas tax? Is it vehicle registration fees?
I would say that's it. Gas tax and vehicle registration fees. I'm open to looking at anything. You know, there's no perfect solution out there. Certainly with the gas tax, you have more electric vehicles that eventually will be obsolete. At the very least, what the legislature should have done probably 10 years ago is to equate the gas tax to the rate of inflation so that there was an inflationary component in there, because one of the things that is missing is that the gas tax never kept up with the rate of inflation. So at the very least, you should tag it to keeping up with the rate of inflation, which hasn't been done. They should have done it back in 97 and they didn't.
State Senator Tanya Shoemaker, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Tanya Shoemaker is a Republican from Lawton. Her Senate district includes Van Buren, Allegan, and part of Kent County. And we also want to thank Kalamazoo Gazette reporter Emily Monticelli.
Thank you.
Links with more information, longer versions of interviews, and past programs can always be found at wmuk.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.